A quick news note. While the Supreme Court has released all of its decisions for this term, it's still in session, and today the justices announced that in the next term, they'll hear an appeal from a group of California teachers who say their First Amendment rights are compromised by having to pay union fees, even if they disagree with the union's positions and aren't members. The teachers are trying to overturn a 38-year-old legal precedent that says that unions can require non-members to pay dues for the cost of bargaining if they're in the group represented, in this case teachers, as long as these fees don't go to political purposes. A ruling in favor of the teachers could have a dramatic effect on the finances of public unions representing teachers, firefighters, and law enforcement. So that's next term. The court will take up that question. Meanwhile, it's been a busy month for the Supreme Court wrapping up the current term, and that has meant a busy time for linguists. Consider in the last few days, we've heard Justice Antonin Scalia use jiggery-pokery and mummeries in two opinions. Mummeries? What is that? We know mummers are those actors who put on pageants like the Mummers Parade every New Year's Day in Philadelphia. But a mummery? Justice Scalia is known for eyebrow-raising words. In recent years, he's also used ukase and argle-bargle. Are these really words? And what makes a word, especially if no one but apparently Justice Scalia uses it? Ariel Goldberg is director of Tufts University's Psycholinguistics and Linguistics Lab. He has some thoughts on all of this. Ariel, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Jiggery pokery, mummeries, are these real?
Well, they are certainly words of English that people have used, absolutely. And
what do
you
they
can
mean?
Find them in the dictionary.
What do they mean?
I had to look them up myself. Jiggery pokery means deceitful or dishonest behavior. Mummery is a performance by mummers. And argle bargle actually means what it sounds like, which is it's meaningless talk or nonsense.
Okay, that leaves ukase.
Ukase apparently means mandate or a decree. Okay. It comes from Russian originally.
That's U, the letter, and case with a K. Well, so the usage of these words, you're a linguist, and as you hear this, and this caught your ear. What are you thinking when you hear people use these words?
Well, it caught my ear because these are not words that I have ever heard before. And so it's clear that in order to use these, I believe Scalia had to go into the dictionary to do it because these are not words that we typically use. So it's sort of an intentional usage of words that are not part of the common vocabulary.
Right, trying to draw attention perhaps to them. And he's done this in the past where he's used even other words. Give us some examples.
Well, he said panopticon.
And what does that mean?
It means that something that can see everything. And let me see. A place where everything is on display, a public exhibition hall.
Okay. Well, but see, you are a linguist. And you're looking this word up. So how long do words get to stay in the dictionary if nobody really uses them or knows what they mean?
Well, I think that really will depend upon the dictionary. And there's many reasons to keep things in a dictionary because really ultimately the dictionary is a cataloging of words. It doesn't create a word. We create words. The speakers create words. Lexicographers who create dictionaries will merely catalog the words. And so we may want to preserve words for future use, even if they're not being used, so we could go back and understand what words used to mean. But one may wish to cull them. If one wanted to have a dictionary that reflects common usage, one would make the dictionary move with the vocabulary of the times.
It's so funny that we hear these words from the past, jiggery, pokery, and mummeries, come into usage in the same week that the Oxford Dictionary added some slang. I'm referring, of course, to the word masshole that refers to Massachusetts drivers. Does this drive linguists crazy when slang like that gets in? Although I'm thinking maybe jiggery pokery was the equivalent when it went in.
The exact opposite. Linguists love when dictionaries reflect the usage of the times. The reason why is because we have a view about dictionaries that is what makes a word a word. If it's not in the dictionary, it's not a word. If it is in the dictionary, it is a word. And also that the meaning that is in the dictionary, we sort of believe is the only true meaning. Whereas the truth is actually the opposite, which is that words are what we use them. And dictionaries really just catalog them. And so they're going to be conservative in what they add because we don't want to necessarily add a word that is going to disappear after a year or two. It's not really a word of English in that sense that we aren't using it. But what really, from the linguist perspective, a word is a word of a language if you know what it sounds like. Also, if you know what it's spelled like. But most importantly, if it has a systematic meaning and if you can use it in a sentence. And so something like mass hole or any number of words that that are not in the dictionary, for example, Frappuccino is not in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. But I think millions and millions of Americans know what a Frappuccino is. They know that you should say, I have two Frappuccinos rather than saying, I have some Frappuccino, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so on. So the fact that a dictionary catalogs what we use, that's exactly what dictionaries should do. And there's no, from this perspective, it's not slang. It's something that is a word that people use. Yeah, absolutely.
So how are we to figure out where we are on word usage? I mean, if something's in the dictionary, you feel like, okay, I should have known that word.
From the scientific perspective, the way that we view words is that people are what make words what they are. And dictionaries, we do hold them up to high esteem, but really what they are just cataloging words. So you can imagine them as being almost like seeing a butterfly exhibit at the Smithsonian where they pin down a butterfly. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful way to study the butterfly, for example. But it didn't make the butterfly. The butterfly existed before someone pinned it down. Similarly, just because you see the butterfly in the exhibit doesn't mean that that species is still alive. It could be extinct. In the same way, just because a word is in the dictionary doesn't mean that it's a word that anybody actually would know or use.
Right. Well, we become aware, too, those of us who have to use words for a living, that maybe there are people who use jiggery-pokery all the time. I used a word on the air the other day. I said a story was a humdinger. And I got all these tweets from people saying, humdinger, what's that? Somebody tweeted me, I think this is John Spring, who goes under the Angry Liberal. He says, that reminds me of when Hugh Grant said whoops-a-daisy in Notting Hill. There's a difference between old-fashioned and not in use.
That's right. And really, but the difference is, are people using them? I mean, ultimately, words that are old, we consider old, we call them old because they used to be used and they're no longer used. So in the case of something like jiggery-pokery, the reason why it's in the dictionary is because enough people use it at one point in time that the lexicographer has decided that they should include it in the dictionary and it had a systematic enough meaning. But at this point, I don't know how many people would use it.
And so tell us of other words that have gone out of use.
Well, probably the easiest place to look is from the translations of the Bible. These words like doth and so on and thou are words that we just don't use anymore. We recognize them, but I doubt anybody actually uses them in their own conversation.
Give me some other examples of words that were once very usable that have fallen out of use.
Sure. Well, one is chivalry, for example, which is a noisy celebration that one might make for a marriage, to celebrate a marriage. Another one is hesychast, which was a 14th century movement among Greek Orthodox monks. And so one can look them up and they have meanings and you can use them. But they're not really any words that we would recognize as being English anymore.
Or you might use them, as Justice Scalia did, apparently, to draw attention. I mean, come to my chivalry. That'll catch somebody's attention.
Exactly. And also, we, in our society, we associate some amount of esteem with vocabulary, especially academic vocabulary. When you hear someone using vocabulary like this, at some level, you think of them as being educated, which obviously Scalia very much is, but it sort of adds some gravitas to use a very infrequent word.
Well, and it gets you on shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. That's Ariel Goldberg, director of the Tufts University Linguistic Labs, weighing in on some of the language we've heard in the past couple of weeks and words in general. Ariel, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.